Just before I get into the sermon today, I want to mention a little bit about these weekly challenges I've been trying to give you, and I hope you understand I'm giving them, trying to be beneficial to all of us. So you can see in our service folder today, right before the sermon, you can see last week's challenge. And if you go to the end of today's sermon, you'll see this week's challenge. And actually, if you go to our participation guide on page 2, you'll see I have all three of them listed there so far. So the plan is that I'll have three of them in here because we almost always have the last three sermons available in the back. So if you miss a week, pick up the sermon. You'll have the challenge right there. Actually, the challenge is also written right on the sermon copy. But I think it's a way, though, to be able to benefit beyond just coming. I think it's possible, because I know I did it for years myself, is I went to church, kind of halfway paid attention, went about my week, and honestly, I really didn't take much with me at all or really find the Word of God beneficial for me. But here, though, this is a way that you have to listen a little bit more to know what the sermon is about, and then there's a definite way to be able to put it into practice. So with the one a couple weeks ago now, with that particular sermon, I actually have 22 scripture references in the sermon. They're not written out. I just have the address there. So the challenge was to look up each of them to see how they tie in with the sermon, and you'll get a whole lot more out of it that way. And then last week, the focus was on the fruit of the Spirit. So the Bible says there are 9 fruits of the Spirit. So I was trying to establish what we might call a baseline. You know how people maybe go for like a bone density test, and the test is basically establishing baseline as to how dense their bones are. And then when they get future checkups, they're able to tell, are my bones getting stronger or are they getting more brittle? Well, what I'm trying to do here last week was to establish kind of where are we with each fruit of the Spirit. So if you look at my own service folder here, I put a number by each one, and some lower numbers, some higher numbers. But now that I kind of have a better idea and I'm thinking about the topic a little bit more, now I have an opportunity to hopefully try to do a little bit better in those categories. That's how it's supposed to work. And then at the end of today's sermon, I'll have another challenge as well. So I really invite you to do that. But by doing it, though, it doesn't get us any extra points with God. It doesn't get us into heaven. It's not that idea, but it's about being more mature. It's about growing up in Jesus Christ. Let's go to the regular sermon now. Dear friends in Christ, today we are continuing a short series on Paul's letter to the Corinthians, to the Christians living in Corinth. So keep in mind that Paul went there around the year 50. He was preaching and teaching among them for about a year and a half. And then, after that time, he was hearing different things that were going on within Corinth. So then he wrote back to them about 5 years later, and that's the letter we're taking a look at now. Thinking about the sermon I gave last week, if you missed that, there are copies in the back. It's available on the podcast and also on the church website. But that's an important one, though, because this is a little 5-part series, and the very first sermon, that becomes the foundation for the rest of the sermons. So if you don't have the foundation, you might not quite get what's going on. So I invite you to make sure you catch that if you haven't already. Last week, we did talk about having the Holy Spirit within us and showing forth the 9 fruits of the Spirit. We also talked about how the Holy Spirit is giving certain gifts to certain people, and these are more extraordinary gifts. I also mentioned that with those gifts, that with the first 3, I think those are ones that are still being given today, with knowledge, wisdom, and faith. I'm talking about a great faith here, not just saving faith. The other 6 gifts, I think those are extraordinary gifts that were given at that time. They were foundational to the New Testament church. But now, in our day, the Bible has basically replaced the need for those particular extraordinary gifts. Take a look at the sermon, and you'll see a little bit more what I mean. Today we're continuing in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 as we focus on the one body of Christ. So just like Mr. Potato Head, he only has one body, but he has many parts. So that's true for our physical bodies, and that's also true for the one body of Christ. So that one body, and yet every believer in the whole world is a part of that one body of Jesus Christ. Getting into our text now, we're picking up in verse 12 of 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and the Bible says, "For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For by one Spirit we are all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and all were given to drink of the one Spirit." So when we look at a human body, we can see the different parts. We can see a head, we can see arms, we can see legs, and yet we understand they're all connected in one body. So God wants us to know the same is true with the one body of Christ. But what do we need, though? We need the eyes of faith to be able to see this reality. If I look out at you right now, I see a bunch of individual people. But with the eyes of faith, God wants us to know that we're all united through Christ into his one body, the body of Christ. How did that happen? God is the one who did it. When we were baptized into Christ, that's when God made us members of this one body of Christ. Going further in our text, the Bible says, "For the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot should say, 'Because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body,' that would not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear should say, 'Because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body,' that would not make it any less a part of the body." Now, with our own physical bodies, the parts aren't talking to each other. But imagine if my foot said to my hand, "I'm not like you. I can't do the things that you do, so I'm just going to disconnect myself from the body." Well, have you ever tried to walk without a foot? Pretty difficult to do. So what I'm trying to say is, just as the hand has certain functions, so the foot has certain functions. Every part is needed within the body, and when we think about the body of Christ, the same thing is true. God has given particular function to each part of the body of Christ. Going on in the text, it says, "If the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing? If the whole body were an ear, where would be the smelling?" So we can understand, like with Mr. Potato Head, he has eyes to be able to see, a nose to be able to smell, ears to be able to hear, and so on. So he has to have different parts in order to be able to work. So the same is true with the body of Christ. Think about it like this. This is not my example, but I thought it was a good one. The body of Christ is like a choir or an orchestra where each singer or musician has an assigned and vital role in producing a pleasant result. So when you're thinking about people singing or playing musical instruments, everyone has to do their part well, and that all blends together in a wonderful way. But you can imagine, though, if one person is singing way off key, or if this person playing this instrument is hitting all the wrong notes, it's just not going to be good. So as that is true in those kinds of situations, God wants us to know that it's important within the body of Christ that everyone is functioning well. Continuing in the text, it says, "But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them, as he chose. If all the members were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, yet one body." So when we think about what part we are in the one body of Christ, we might say, "Dear God, I don't want to be that part. I don't like being that part." But at the same time, though, let's understand, just like it says in the Bible, it says that God is the one who has placed each member within the body. So whatever part we have, that's the part that God has given to us. Now, when I think many years ago about this idea of maybe going to seminary and becoming a pastor, I didn't pick that. I didn't want that. I thought, I can never do that. I mean, I had all those kinds of thoughts. And then God showed me, though, that I could not do those things. And then he also showed me that all things are possible as he is working through us. So that's the only way I stand here today, is with God working through me. So as God's able to do that in my life, God's able to work through any of us in order to function in our God-given role within the body of Christ. Going further in the text, it says, "The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, the parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable," in other words, necessary, "and on those parts of the body that we think less honorable, we bestow the greater honor, and our unpresentable parts are treated with greater modesty, which our more presentable parts do not require." A lot said there in that section. So if you think about our head or our hands, those are out there, people can see them, they're very presentable to everyone, so they don't need any extra honor. But think about, though, with military or police, and they're wearing a bulletproof vest. What are they doing? The vest is here, they're trying to protect the vital organs. So even though we can't see our vital organs, I don't even know quite what's going on in there. I know there's some important stuff in there, and I don't want a bullet to go through this part of my body. So even though they're hidden, we know they are important. What about our unpresentable parts? We might say our private parts. Would any of us be here today if God had not given private parts to a body? We wouldn't be. They're important for us. They're important for all future generations. So God has worked it all out in a particular way. How do we apply that over to the body of Christ? Well, if I'm preparing and preaching a sermon each week here at Bethlehem, and you're attending and you're supporting God's work in this place, and the money's being collected, but let's say, though, we have no financial secretary or no financial secretary team, so they never gather together, they never count the money, they never deposit it in the bank. If that happens for actually a fairly short period of time, what's going to happen is that they're going to turn off our electricity, they're going to turn off the gas. You guys are going to say, I don't want to sit in the worship area anymore, it's only 20 degrees in there, and our whole operation will shut down. So do you really know or see what goes on with the financial secretary team? You don't. But what I'm saying is they're kind of like an internal organ. They're doing their work behind the scenes, and it's important for the operation of our congregation. Some things we see, some things we don't. Going further in the text, it says, "But God has so composed the body, giving greater honor to the part that lacked it, that there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. Now you are the body of Christ and individually members of it." I think sometimes not only do we physically look disconnected from each other, but sometimes, maybe oftentimes, we function as if we are disconnected from each other. Not a good thing, though. So that's the reason for the sermon today. That's the reason for what Paul wrote here. God wants us to think about this reality, this spiritual reality of being members of the one body of Christ. And just as each part of our physical body needs to work together and function well for someone to be physically healthy, God wants us to understand that the body of Christ here at Bethlehem Lutheran Church also needs to have each person understand his or her role and function within that role in order to have a healthy body of Christ in this place. It also talked in this section I just read about suffering together. How can we suffer together here at Bethlehem? Well, you know that each week we put together what we call our participation guide, and we call it that because we want people to participate. On the topic of suffering, we want you to participate in the sufferings of others by praying for the needs that are listed here. So we have plenty of them listed every week, and the way that we show we're a part of that body is by praying for them. For example, if I dropped something super heavy on my left foot, do you know what would happen? Is my mind would get engaged, and my mouth would get engaged, and maybe my hands would get engaged, and other parts of my body would be caring about my left foot and would be calling upon God for relief. So think about the people on the prayer list. Here they are, members of that one body of Christ, members of the body that we are members of, and when they are hurting, God wants us to suffer with them, to hurt with them by praying for them. Even taking it further, think about a member of the body of Christ passing away. So what do we do here at Bethlehem? We make that known to the members so that the members then can gather for the funeral, and while that person is mourning, we can mourn with them. We can be there to support them. So these are things that are part of being the one body of Christ. Also, too, it talked in there about rejoicing with others. So that would require us sharing with each other about what's going on in our lives. That would be an occasion for rejoicing. And then when we see that, let's rejoice together. Let's acknowledge that together. We can do that in part, again, from the participation guide as we see physical birthdays, spiritual birthdays, anniversaries, and so on. Those are occasions to celebrate. So if you see a name in there, say something to someone. Acknowledge what they have going on in their lives. Continuing in our text, it says, "And God has appointed in the church," in other words, within the body of Christ, "first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing, helping, administrating, and various kinds of tongues." So what God has done, he's established a certain order, and he said first, second, third, and then other things. So he said the apostles are first. So an apostle, in order to be an apostle, for the most part, except for Paul, you had to be with Jesus during his entire ministry from the time he was baptized until the time he died on the cross. And then you also had to witness him being raised from the dead. So that was required to be an apostle. So no apostles today. And then it talked about the position of prophet. A prophet was someone who was given revelation from God. I don't believe we have prophets today. I believe that we have all the revelation we need right here in print. And then it talked about teachers. Primarily here, it's talking about pastors who are caring for a congregation, but there are others that God raises up to teach along with the pastor. So together, they're trying to teach the people the word of God and build them up in Jesus Christ. Also, too, here in the list, it talked about the gifts of miracles and healing. And those are things that we touched on last week, also with the gift of tongues. Those are all things that you can check out the sermon from last week. But like I tried to say, though, those are things that are foundational. And I think that the Bible has taken the place of those. If that doesn't make sense, take a look at that sermon. And then you can also see here, they talked about the gifts of helping and administering. So for helping, there's all kinds of things that people can do to help. At the end of each service, there are various people that are going around and they're turning off lights and they're closing doors and they're putting things away. When I got here this morning, we had Matthias out there clearing the sidewalk so people could come in without having to walk through the snow. So there are all kinds of things to do, and you don't have to have an official position to do it. If you're simply around and you see something that needs to be done, you can just do it. Now, sometimes when I visit with our shut-ins, sometimes they're saying, oh, Pastor, I'm stuck here in my home. I can't do anything. Then I'll say to them, wait a minute now. You have a lot you can do. You get a copy of the participation guide every 2 weeks if you're a shut-in here at Bethlehem. So you have a lot of people to pray for. Anybody can do that if they're in Christ. The other thing the shut-ins can do, and I'll say to them, I'll say, you have members right here who are on this list. You have a copy of our church directory. Give them a call. Say, this is so-and-so, and I wondered how you're doing. I'm praying for you. And even if they just give you a short answer and that's it, that would be so special to those people to get a call and know that someone is thinking about them and someone is praying for them. So there's a lot that people can do, even when they can't get here and be with us at church. So all of us can do those same things and even more. We're also in a situation here right now at Bethlehem where we actually have 5 open positions on our leadership team. So a very unusual situation, but it talked here about the gift of administrating. So if anyone has that gift, if you're able to be organized and help guide the church in certain ways, we have openings. So if God's leading you in that way, please find out more. Finally, at the end of our reading today, we have 7 questions here. And we have 7 questions, and every answer to every question is no. How do I know that? I know that because within the Greek text, the way the Greek words are written, it's kind of coded in a sense, and sometimes using this Greek word, it tells us the answer is yes. Other times using this other Greek word, it tells us the answer is no. With all 7, the answer is no. The Bible says, are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all possess gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? The answer to each one is no. So there's this great diversity within the body of Christ. The important thing is that God is the one who has gotten a hold of us. God has saved us through Jesus Christ, and in doing so, God has put us into the body of Christ. God has made us a member of that one body, and God has a particular function for each one of us. What that function is for each of us, I don't know. But it does say there at the end, it says, earnestly desire the greater gifts. That might sound kind of odd because these gifts are given freely by grace, but there are other parallel places in the Bible we can go to where it talks about praying for something, earnestly desiring something. I won't go into that now, but we will get into that a little bit more next week. I want to mention at this point our brochure called Ways to Serve. So this has recently been updated. It has all the information in here for this current year. And I didn't count them up, but there might be 30, 40 different ways in here that people can serve within our congregation. So I invite you to take a look at one. They're available in the back there on the table. And if God is leading you in a particular way, fill it out, turn it in, and someone should be getting in contact with you. Finally, our challenge for today, you can see it right there in your service folder. I'm asking you to think and pray on these 2 questions. Question number 1, you're asking yourself, what part am I in the body of Christ? I'm giving you some examples. Are you more like a hand where you're called to do various forms of helping? Are you more like an ear where God is simply saying, call people, talk to people, and be a listener. Be there to hear what they have to say. Are you more like a foot, where you're on the move and you can maybe distribute things to people who are in need, who cannot come? Or are you more like a mouth, being willing to speak particular things to other people to be a blessing to them? So as you think and pray on such things, and God shows you what part you are, then I'm saying, how is God calling you to function as that part? So these are important things. It's not just to know them, but rather it is to know them and then to put them into practice. not the easiest things to figure out, but important, I believe, for the good and healthy function of the one body of Christ here at Bethlehem Lutheran Church. Let us pray. Dear Holy Spirit, we thank you for taking action to make us members of this one body of Christ. We pray that you would help us to see what our particular function is and then help us to function well. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Questions? Needs? Contact us through our website, BethlehemLutheranChurchParma.com. This is our regular schedule. Sundays, service at 8, classes at 9:30, service at 10:45. Mondays, service at 7 p.m. Now, may the Lord of peace continually grant you peace in every circumstance. The Lord be with you all.